This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The TalkSport Fan Network is supported by EE Hope United and Gay Times. EE Hope United is a team of top footballers from the home nations and beyond, tackling online hate in football. Don't let homophobia go unchecked. Search EE Hope United to find out more.
Welcome to the Leicester v Chelsea preview, which had a little audio difficulty, but we're back now. Should be fine. Do let us know if it's fine in the comments. But we're just talking about Chelsea's obviously our next fixture. We're playing them on Saturday, and they've come off beating Dortmund 2-0 in the Champions League, and we've just come off losing away to Southampton, who were dead last. So, really, what is your thoughts going into the weekend?
Well, from you starting the intro to going to that intro, it's more of like you can't really do much about it, can we? We've just lost to the bottom of the league, where Chelsea have just beaten near top of the league in Dortmund. So you've really got to work out what you kind of want going into this game. I've said that Chelsea aren't in the best forms in the Premier League. We all know they've not been the greatest. I don't think they're ever going to get top four now, the way they're going. So for us, we've got to look at going to Saturday now, thinking we've got to try and go for a win, because it's getting to the point now where every game less for us is more points that we need to get. So I know it's going to be a tough game to win, but for me, we need to win this game, because then it'll go down to Brentford and then it'll go down to some other team.
So statistically, this season, out of the next 13 games, we have to win 5 to be, I don't know if it's mathematically safe, but I think
it'll get us to 40 points.
It'll get us to 40 points if we win the next 5 out of 13, but we've only won 7 out of 25 games this season so far. So Chelsea, for me, again, this for me, talking about this, obviously we do need to win against Chelsea. We need to win against Brentford as well. But we should have beat Southampton.
I get that.
We shouldn't have messed around like we did against Southampton. And I know fans and other people, even Madison himself on Twitter, said that we were trying. But I keep hearing from people that we're not in a relegation battle. I know you've opted to say that yourself a bit, really, but I think people just, the pressure of realising we're in a relegation battle is what is needed to get us out of there. I think clubs like Southampton say they're playing for something. They're playing because they know they need to get out of the bottom three. I think we need to have that mentality and attitude of we need to play to, you know, stay out of the top of the bottom three as well, because we are only, if we lose to Chelsea and all three teams below us win, and I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think a lot of teams below us are playing each other, like the other 6 pointers that we're not.
Right? Every single club in the bottom 10 now, from what I've seen this weekend, has got a hard game. Right. So basically top half playing bottom half.
Right.
So out of all the teams we've said in the bottom half, a lot of, would say maybe one or two will get that lucky win, and hopefully that might be us. But again, it's going to be a tough ask.
Again, it could be,
if we don't win,
you'd say a 6 pointer almost, but if we were to come in with all 3 points and the teams around us were all to lose again, it pushes us up a lot further.
And that's where I'm saying that I don't think we're in the relegation battle just yet.
But again, it goes because if we lose to Chelsea.
No, I get that, but then everyone else loses. Which I know you mean it's all different, but so maybe through it for me, if we get one win the next two games, as in Brentford or Chelsea, and the other games go our way in some way, which we kind of have to rely on at times, that means we're going to be 5 points. So I think we're relying on other results, but I still don't think we're in the position where we have to win. I think if we win one game, we're with, 5 points clear off the bottom three at the moment. We're
not necessarily
going our way.
That with, again, like I said, that's...
No, I get that,
if
yeah.
it happens.
Every bottom 10 team could win against every top team this weekend. You never know that, but there's a lot of games where you know, pretty much guaranteed a lot of the teams in the top half will be lower teams this week.
Hopefully, you know, you can only hope that is what's going to happen. It's a very tough game because they're coming off a massive win. You know, Chilwell or Fofana is going to score against us, let's be honest.
Well, Fofana scored in the last home game for them.
Yeah, so I think maybe we'll do it again. But, you know, I think just going into the Chelsea game a bit more, obviously we're not tight for players again, but we have lost a couple of key players. I don't know if Barnes is back fit this weekend.
I hope not, to be honest.
Oh, I hope he is, because I know he may not be on the form, but at least he's a left winger. Christensen is obviously still out. Yuri's out still. But going into that, who do you play in your starting 11? And you're laughing because you already know who you're going to stick at left back. So just say who you're putting at left back, really.
So obviously my goalkeeper is going to be Ward. Right back, I'm putting Ricardo Pereira. I think now he's back fit, I think he has to get more game time and make sure he gets fully fit and back into his kind of form that we know he can be in. Centre back, so I'm going to go Faze and Suter. And then left back, just because it's his preferred position, I'm going to go for Bertrand. I honestly think we need to go as solid as we can. And as much as people might think he's not solid, I think he's our best left back we've got in our area we can use. Obviously, we've got Luke Thomas, and for me, everyone moans at him. And for me, Castagne just isn't great on the left-hand side. I know he can play there, but I watched him live at Southampton, and he just couldn't win anything. He couldn't do anything right.
I think
that's where he has to go. That's where for me, you have to put a good left back in there to.
Luke Thomas does need a season on loan to Championship club. For me, I wouldn't play Bertrand just because he hasn't played the game in over a year. Like for me, if you put Bertrand straight into him against Chelsea, I know you might say Castagne's not left back's not his preferred side, but for me, Bertrand would be worse because he's had no game time. That if you shove him in the left back, he's gonna get run around by their team because he's not going to be match fit. He's old as it is. Football old. He's not old. But he's in football terms, he's old. So I think it would be a mistake to play him at left back. It is something different, but I wouldn't play him at left back. I'd stick Castagne on the left, Pereira on the right. I dropped Drew's Wheel. I think he's, you know, since signing a new contract, he's been a pretty poor player for us. Not as good as, you know, before he actually played with some guy.
I will mention one thing from what Jack's just said there. I think there's so many fans saying that Ricardo can go on the wing. He can't. I'm sorry, but yes, he's good attacking wise. But he's finishing. Is anything like that? He's just not good enough in the attack. Don't get me wrong, I like his attacking minded player, but he's just not that good on the wing, and it's basically just a pointless putting him on the wing for me.
I agree and disagree. I think he is a decent right winger, but if you were to play Ricardo on the wing, I don't think Ricardo would suit the left side of the wing at all. I think it would just be pretty simple. I think put Pratt on the wing.
I've put that in my team. I think Pratt for me, he's the only replacement we kind of can use in that wing.
Looking
spot.
At these comments, though, like you see, just Ben Hayes says Barnes is injured. If Barnes is injured, he'll have to go 5-3-2. Need pace and centre back play. So, see, that's my thing. If I agree with Ben, if the players that we've got are injured, like Barnes,
you don't play positions.
That's one of Rogers' big faults. Is we all know he's probably going to play Pratt on the left wing, but if we don't have the players available, switch up the team. And we know Rogers is very good at doing that.
I remember the last time Barnes was injured, he did go to a back three with wing backs and two up front. There could be a situation where he does change this. No, I know that, but that's because Barnes was fit. He is stubborn to say that Barnes is going to be in that game every single day, but now Barnes is injured, he might have to revert back to this situation. And that's where we start winning games.
We can see an hour before kickoff. Jack saying again, best guy falling out of Rodgers, like Rodgers did with Agüero. Yeah, we saw that today in the newspaper articles that Vestergaard has apparently fallen out of Rodgers and he won't be playing or even training. I know he wasn't playing anyway, but he won't be training anywhere near the first team. He's doing individual training. I think his contract runs up at the end of this season anyway.
Yeah.
So I think he was kind of a done player at Leicester. But by the sounds of it, he, from what we read, it sounded like Vescoe came out and said that Rodgers' team selections and team choices he make are really weird and strange and he doesn't support them. Hence why Vestergaard is now not part of the team for me, which, again, I think shows very stubborn attitude from Rodgers. I know that his players may be given an attitude, but, you know, if they're saying that Sanu's article is behind Rodgers' back, you know, it's probably a reason why they're not saying it to his face, because he is a stubborn person. And I think everyone kind of knows that at this point. I think even you, as a Rodgers in person, would say he is a stubborn man.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like I say, he always seems to play the same style of football. As much as I thought we did create enough chances against Southampton, we obviously didn't score, which obviously everyone is going to say, but...
Should have read that before I put on there.
But before we do move on to a different topic, Jack says, bringing Soonchu in, you obviously said... Because we haven't got Barnes fit, you kind of have to change the style. It means going to the back three. You were mentioning Evans earlier. If we go to a back three, I'm guessing you'd play the main two. And then who would you bring in as that third? Would you bring Evans in, or would you bring Soonchu
in? If I'm thinking of this, I'm not thinking in my head, I think in Roger's head, he would play Evans over Soonchu. If Soonchu and Evans are fit,
I think we would know that, yeah.
He clearly has an agenda against Soonchu. Don't know why. We don't know if we ever will know the full extent of that, because Soonchu's probably 100%, but he's probably going to go at the end of this season anyway.
Yeah.
So if I was in Rodgers' head, I think if he was to play back three, it would be Fai, Suter and Evans in the middle.
I think for me, if a back three, I think Evans would probably be suited there, but in a back two, I just don't think he's got the space for it.
For me, against Chelsea, I would play a back three, because Chelsea are very... counter-attacking team that, you know, they're very high pressing, they've got very good passing team.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Sterling, who's, you know, he did wonders against his last game, let's be honest. Did he score twice? I think he did, didn't he? Score twice.
Yeah, they had a man down as well.
Yeah, so again, we've got to be careful for their players. You know, Kai Havertz is doing pretty decent for Chelsea as well. For Fon, like I say, he scored the other week. He'll probably want to come to Leicester and score and celebrate a bit like Chilwell does, you know, dickhead players, let's be honest. So I think moving on to next thing, talking about strikes, I've seen a lot of people say, does Nacho start this weekend? I was talking to you earlier about what do we do with Daka at the end of the season, because he's not getting a lick in the team at the moment. Do we sell him? Do we keep him? Is his time almost done? Because you've got to bear in mind he's on quite a lot of money at Leicester just to be sitting on the bench collecting dust and keeping it warm.
For me, Daka has to be a second choice now. I think Vardy, for me, has to be a third choice. I think at the moment we are giving Vardy the second choice, but after Kel. But for me, he's younger. He's probably faster at this point. Daka, we obviously don't see it too much. But
at the end of the season, would you sell him and bring a new striker in?
No.
You'd keep
him? I think for me, I'd let someone like Vardy go. And
would
that's
you bring
just
a
me.
New in?
I would bring a new striker in, but as... probably maybe a first choice.
Yeah.
But
ahead of Nacho.
Yes, but then I'd rather have someone like Daka in the team at the moment than Vardy. Not because of any temperament or anything like that. He's younger. For me, he can still do a job at times. Obviously, he's not doing it at the moment, but I don't think Vardy's going to be doing much now. I think other than being in the staff room, I think that is it.
For me, my biggest problem, again, I keep saying biggest, there's so many big problems. The way Rodgers plays strikers, which is fine, he can play the style he wants. He shouldn't have ever brought Daka to Leicester if he's going to play the style he does, the way he wants it.
But didn't he think, I'm just going to say this before you say what your part is, when he first came in, Rodgers, he played with Vardy and Vardy was on fire.
Because we played a different style of football.
I think we're playing kind of the same, but we're just not using them as much.
Counter-attacking football the first 2 years with Rodgers. If you can go back and watch the games from 2 years ago when we won the FA Cup and that, the football we played was sit back, when we get the ball, we pass it around one, you know, tippy-tappy, one star, but rather than passing it back and forth, we do one passes through the middle, pop it off, and off we go. That's how we did play with Rodgers, and that's what won us the FA Cup. For me, Vardy and Daka, they're very similar kind of styles of players. Vardy, I don't think Vardy's finished. I just think he's been very brought down to the standards of what Rodgers is trying to accomplish at Leicester, which is he doesn't like that style of football for a striker, which obviously doesn't suit Vardy, and hence why it's not suiting Daka. So I don't think Daka's doing as bad as he could. I think he could be a decent little striker if we actually played counter-attacking football, a bit more through balls, because that's the whole point of having pacey strikers. Who we all seen Vardy how he finishes. He gets one through ball, runs past the defenders and taps it in. I think Daka's the same kind of player. For me, I'd like to see him do well, but again, it's all down to.
I think the main question is: do we think he's going to go at the end of the season? I don't think he will.
I think he might go because he wants to play football. I think he's the kind of player. I don't think he wants to sit on the bench. He actually wants to be involved in the game. I could see him going to maybe a club that's just been promoted from Championship next.
Maybe
season.
Yeah, I could probably see that happening.
Maybe on loan. I don't know if we'd.
I could probably see that happening. I just don't think we'll get rid of him. I can't see if any bought him in for a year and a half.
Wanting to get rid of him and him wanting to go, because he'll see this as at the end of the year, it's 2 years he's been at Leicester and they're not playing him the way he likes, so I think he would move. As for Vardy, I think if we played him in the right style, I think.
But then again, if you're saying about the right style, do you think playing how we know he can do isn't that based? Because everyone knows how we play when we play with Vardy over the top. They know what they're doing now. The defenders always know what to do. Just make sure he does not get behind you.
No, I disagree. I think teams play against, it's worked for him for the past 6 years before we changed it up. So I don't know why it going back to it would be a problem. I think it depends on how we see. I'm not saying it has to be the only tactic. We can do more than one tactic, surprisingly. I know
for me, a lot of the time this season, I've seen them on my own. I've seen that we've had times where we've had Vardy on the pitch and we're just booting the ball up and it's just not working. We just boot it up because we've got no option.
I think, well, again, booting it up when you've got no option, I think it's better than passing around the back and losing.
Well, I get that, but it's a stage where we've tried to get to Vardy a lot of the time, but it's just not fast enough, or he's not clinical enough anymore to put things away.
I don't think we have. I think that does come down to the lack of quality in the team. When you look at who was shipping the ball up to Vardy a few years ago, you had, again, winning season, you had Danny Drinkwater, who would always do an over-the-top ball or a little slide through, and it would make
Now we've got someone like Dewsbury Hall, which in all aspects, he can't pass,
Tielemans, again, this season, he's been especially quite poor, I think. I don't understand why fans rave
about
Tielemans. I think he's been quite poor.
I think he's passing it out a lot better, but I think certain areas of the pitch he can't.
Madison plays like Madison. He plays too high up the pitch to slot it through. You know, he's one of the players that's up there trying to get the ball passed to him. So, for me, Daka, I think maybe loan him out next season would be the best.
I think maybe that might be an option. I just don't think we're going to get rid of him at all. I don't think he's going to go. I think he either will go on loan or he will be my backup striker to whoever comes in.
Yeah.
A fully first team player, really. So, yeah.
The TalkSport Fan Network is supported by EE Hope United and Gay Times. Let's work together to tackle hate and make sport inclusive. Football is for everyone, so let's work to stop homophobic abuse. Search EE Hope United to find out how.
Moving on to the next topic. New keeper. I think really we all know we need a new keeper in summer. I don't think that's...
For me, it's a tough one because...
Give your opposite opinion. You think Ward is going
to... No, I'm not saying he's good enough, but we've only just bought in a third choice. And now it gets the point of, who do we let go? Because I don't think we're just going to let Smithies go like that.
You'll probably want to.
Iverson go, yes, and then Ward goes back into second place, and then we bring a new choice in. But then.
You don't need three keepers.
No, we don't, but we know Rodgers doesn't.
Having Smithies, there's no point in having him, because let's be honest, he's never going to play. And if Ward and Iverson did end up getting injured, you play the youth team keeper.
Which I get, and I don't think we do need
it. It's not often that you're two. You know, your keeper and your second keeper get injured.
I do understand that there is obviously, we don't see Iverson playing in the Premier League, so what's funny him being there? And obviously, same with Smithies. But the way I look at it, if they just brought Smithies in, Iverson does play in the Cup, and we've got Ward as what first choice. So now when it comes into the new season, does Rodgers see it as an important position that he needs to improve when he knows he's probably got Ward there? Which obviously we all know he's not the best, but will he see it as we do need to bring a new first choice in? I don't think he will. Overall positions, I don't think he'll prioritise the goalkeeper position.
Which I
hope he does, but I don't see it.
I think a big issue would be that if we get to summer and we are still in the Premier League somehow. No, if we do stay in the Premier League next season, is Rodgers still here for his fifth season at Leicester, or do you think he'll get the sack? I think, personally, he'll still be here if we stay the season. If we get relegated, he'll go. He's got two big...
Well, we all know he'll go if we get relegated. But for me, I know I've said it the last few days now, that the fact is I think it's just too dangerous to get rid at this point. Obviously, there's things here and there about manager balance if somebody comes in. But with, 13 games to go now, I don't think you can risk changing the style of play up and a new manager to risk it.
We risk it or we... You know, there's a chance it might not work.
It might not work,
or
yes, but it might
with
work.
Rodgers, which we know he's not going to change how he
plays. I'd say maybe let him go at the end of the season.
Too little, too late by then. If we're relegated, and of course...
For me, it's about settling how we're playing at the moment instead of it being completely changed and it's not worked.
The past 18 months and it's not worked.
I'll give you a theory here.
It'll be 2 years at the end of the season we've tried this style of football.
Southampton... I've bought three managers in this season. First one obviously didn't work. Second one they tried to make work and it didn't. They lost seven on a bounce.
Yeah.
And they are now in a position where they bought a new manager.
At least they tried something.
They tried to, but if it doesn't work.
If it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. But
for me, you've got to. But you've got. I think you've just got to hopefully let it roll and hopefully say up instead of being that shotgun player where we go for it and it might just absolutely just hit the bed and that's it.
For me, it's a risk worth taking to stay in the Premier League. I think we should do it. Personally, just pull the trigger and, you know, get a new manager.
Too risky referring games to go for me. Too risky.
I beg to differ. I said to you, and I think I am going to stick by it. As long as Rodgers is in charge, after the Southampton game, I think we're relegated this season.
For me, there's still enough games there to.
There is enough games. I think we're relegated because Rodgers is too stubborn of a manager. And I said before the Southampton game, if we lose to Southampton, I think that's the make or break game of the season. If we can't beat Southampton or dead last, it will be what gets us relegated. And if Rodgers doesn't get sacked, then I genuinely see us going down this year, which kind of leads me on to the next thing: stadium expansion. We've been talking when is that actually going to happen? I don't think it would happen if we got relegated, really. I don't think, you know, no offence to the fans in that. And obviously the economic, whatever it is, you know, at the moment, tickets cost a lot. We saw it, was it Blackburn? The tickets were £20. They went up to £25 on the day. A lot of fans struggled to pay that because it's very high prices. So at the moment, we don't fill the 32,000. I don't think we'd fill the 42,000 in the Premier League, let alone in the Championship.
I think it's more, for me, it's more the point of what the ownership want to do. I think they want to have
a
better...
money.
No, I get that. But I think they want to have a better looking area in Leicester instead of it being what the fans want. I don't think obviously, they do care if there's no fans there, but they built the training ground for a reason.
It has to be financially stable.
Do you think... Now, if we go down to the Championship, the training ground's going to look absolutely stupid in a Championship team.
It won't look stupid in a Championship team. It would be ridiculous that we weren't a club that was spending money. There was a time 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we were considered to be the new part of the new top six. You know, we were one of the clubs that were in the top six, top seven. Obviously, now that's Newcastle. I think they're up there as one of the seventh best team in the Prem. So I think we've just fallen a lot off for not much of a reason. Like if you look at the team 2 years ago to what it is now, there isn't much change in the actual team. I think it's just such a lack of motivation from any of the players.
I think our main reason why we're not all there anymore as well is I think it's money. I just all I see is like saying Newcastle the year before they got invested in and got bought out, they were struggling. They come in. Yes, they've got a load of money to spend, but now they've got money, they're all right off the pitch. Right there. Whereas us, we are struggling to use our money on players. Obviously, we've got Christensen in, we've done well with him, I guess. We don't know for sure yet, but for that price we got him for, it looks like a bargain. But we're spending 10, 15 million here or there, whereas Newcastle's spending 40, 50 million at a pop. That's what it takes to stay up there. For me, we were overachieving at times when we got fifth because we had a team which was probably not to that level, but we were overachieving that. Now we're getting to the point where
we were overachieving because we did it 2 years in a row. For me, I wouldn't say that's overachieving. That's, for me, it's being consistent. Again, Man City, when they got bought out by big owners and they were doing well, and they were saying the same thing. Oh, we're never going to win the Premier League. We're never going to stay this consistent. We're not going to get up there. But they did, and now they are one of the biggest teams in the world because their owners had the mentality of going bigger for it. And for me, our owners, sadly, don't have that mentality. I'm kind of bored of signing these players like Dakar, Sumari, Bertrand, Vestergaard, you know, all the cheaper players that could be decent little backups, or they could become eventually good players.
But is that to the point where is that all we can do?
I don't think it's all we can do. I think it's all we're willing to do. I think we're very easy to sell players like Fofana, 80 million. And that's just an example. I know we didn't bring anyone in apart from Thijs when we did sign, but we'd rather sell someone for 80 million, bring in 3 to 4 players at 15, 20, 25 million in between that bracket, and then sell them on to the next Chelsea's, Man U's, Man City's, Liverpool's for the 60, 70 million. Because again, for me personally, I think the board of Leicester don't see it much as a club and more of a business where they try and make money. Because again, if you look at the money spent and the money earned, I don't think on players wise, we actually spend more than we earn as a club, which is hence why when last season we had a bit of financial trouble because the players were on high wages, it was pushing the brackets of what we could afford in financial fair play.
Yeah, but obviously going back to the topic in question, obviously the stadium expansion, I'll go back to the Everton situation as well, whereas they're in probably the same kettle of fish as us at the bottom of the table. And obviously they are looking into buying and getting a new ground built. And I think it's the same situation. I think if either team go down, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think financially it's not a stable option. Like you say, as much as the owners might say, well, it's nice to get a hotel and a nice big 10,000 people. I mean, let's be honest. We don't feel it in the Premier League. We'll feel it on Saturday because it's Chelsea. But if you go down to the games against, you know, your Southamptons, any team that's not top six, Leicester won't fill the ground at 32,000 capacity. So in the Championship, we're definitely not going to even fill 32,000. Before we did get promoted to the Premier League, I remember the days of it being, you know, 3/4 full, sitting about 20,000, 25,000 people in there. So for me, I think a stadium expansion is only a viable option if we stay up, which is hence why for me it's gone very quiet, because it's not really a financially stable thing. So they'd have to hire new staff, obviously build it. I'm sure they have to pay a lot of tax on it, you know, to the government and the Council of Leicester. So I think it's just not a financially stable option if we were to get relegated.
Yeah, I'd say I agree, but then I do think, from the owner's perspective, I think they might just do it either way.
They wouldn't, because it's financially not, it wouldn't make any sense financially to do it. I don't know,
because with the training ground situation, I thought, if they want to do that,
ground wouldn't make the money. They made it because they wanted great facilities.
Which it's not worked.
Yes, which obviously hasn't worked. But for a stadium, they'd only make 10, it would cost them to make 10,000. There's loads of implications into it. So they'd have to fill the 10,000 for it to be financially, you know, a stable option to do. Anyway, I think moving on a little bit, we've looking down, we've got a list of a lot of things to talk about. Chelsea's a big game coming up this weekend. And I think we've talked about everything, really. Is there anything else you want to say? Score predictions. I'll tell you that. We'll end it with a score prediction for the Chelsea match.
Well, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to say 1-0. Daka.
1-0 Daka.
I'm going to stick to my guns, mate. I'm going to say Daka's going to score in the last minute against Chelsea to win us 1-0.
Fair. You can have your opinion. You might be thinking the only one with that opinion, but, you know... I mean, good on you saying we'll win. I'm going to be doing a gloom. I think we're going to lose 4-0, to be honest with you.
Well, the last time out we played against Chelsea, but that was the point when I did change my mind to go Rodgers out, because it was just absolutely shocking.
I think we're just going to lose 4-0. I think we're going to play a very same old team. Normal back four, Castagne left, Pereira right, crap left side. I think that might be better.
Own goal, maybe. I don't know.
But yeah, I'd say, I'm going to say 4-0 Chelsea. I know it might be a little bit negative, but That's just my thoughts. Thank you for watching, guys. Obviously, we're going to end it now. It's been a long stream, but thanks for getting your comments and views, and we'll see you soon.
The TalkSport Fan Network is supported by EE Hope United and Gay Times. TalkSport, EE Hope United and Gay Times are bringing together a breadth of sporting talent and community members to tackle the treatment of LGBTQ plus individuals within football head on. Don't let homophobia go unchecked. Search EE Hope United to find out how.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.